אנחנו קוראים בספר תלמוד 10 הספירות, כרך א', חלק ב', עמוד 60.
We are in the study of the 10 ספירות, we're in chapter 6. We're in our observation, chapter 6, item 65. You can send questions, spreading questions will be aired during the lesson.
Yes, we're continuing. Well, the study of the 10 Sefirot is not a small book. It is nonetheless more than 2,000 pages. And this is why we have to see here how we're advancing. Advancement in tests is not that we understand, it becomes clear what's written in each and every moment, in each and every page, but rather we want to invest our attitude, our relation into it. We want the things we study to affect us as the light that reforms, as an inner force that exists in these words, that it will affect us and correct us. That's it. That's first of all. So let's read and we'll ask and we'll advance.
So, item 65, the reflected light is divided into sfirot according to its clothing of the sfirot of direct light. From the aforementioned, you can thoroughly understand the measure and size of the reflected light, which is no more and no less than the measure of the light that the screen pushes backwards. In other words, it is that part that was worthy of expanding in phase 4, had it not pushed it back, and it ascended and clothed the phases of the upper light, meaning phase 3, which is called Zeiranpin, phase 2, which is called Binah, and phase 1, which is called Chokhmah, and also the root phase called Keter. For this reason, it is considered that phase 4 herself was divided into those 4 degrees that her reflected light clothed, which became 4 degrees, one above the other, in the vessel of Bchina Dalet, the fourth phase, it herself. That is because the light that had belonged to her ascended and clothed these 4 degrees, and it is for this reason that phase 4 is regarded as their root, called the Keter of the reflected light. We'll hear a question from Kiev and then we'll go back. Yes, dear Rav. What does it mean that the fourth phase clothed in the previous discernment, in the previous phase, Zeranpin Bina?
The fourth phase is the will to receive, when all the previous desires, the previous phases, they don't have the will to receive like the fourth phase, like Bchina Daled. And so, when it's the opposite of the light, it's a complete opposite of the light, it performs the restriction, the screen, the rejection, and it responds the action of the light by that it seemingly returns the light back, and it wants to bestow back on the source of light, on Keter. This is why, to the extent that it wants to equalize, to resemble Keter, so it raises its response, the Or Chozer, the reflected light, up until Keter. And then it turns out that Bchina Dalet, the fourth phase, reaches Keter. What are you asking?
So it turns out that Bchina Dalet, the fourth phase, to start with, needs to be aimed towards equivalence, resembling the Keter. And then she connects with Zeranpin.
Correct. Where does that stem from? from. Maybe I'll draw it, it will become clearer. We have learned how from the four phases we get. We are getting the development of these four phases, the root 1, 2, 3, 4. And only the fourth phase, the last phase, is the true will to receive. So fourth phase now, as it received, it has performed a restriction. It performed a restriction. The first restriction.
Tzimtzum Aleph.
How to write it? Tzimtzum Aleph, or in Hebrew, Tzimtzum Aleph.
Ken. No, lo chashuv ze. Ve'achar kach im achlita
shiirutza. No, that doesn't matter. Now, then it decides it wants to reach a state that we will have Or Chozer, reflected light.
ואחרי זה שיהיה לה, היא צריכה שיהיה לה גם כן מסך.
And after that, it also needs a screen, מסך.
שיהיה לה מסך.
They have a מסך, a screen. And then it reaches the action. Then it is there. What comes to it is what's written here, that it is completely divided into 10 sefirot. How will I draw this?
Sefirot Aor.
That the spherot of light this light clothes in spherot of root. Well, I will have to write it in Hebrew, otherwise I will be confused. So root 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And the light that comes, well, then it goes through all these sefirot until the fourth phase, the fourth sefira. And when it clothes in these 10 sefirot, there is a condition that Malchut rejects it. Rejects it. And then what develops is here is reflected light. And then now we have two tendencies, two directions, the direct light and the reflected light. The direct light is what comes from above downwards. And O Chozer, the reflected light, is what comes from below upwards. That's it. That's what he tells us here. Reflected light is divided into sefirot according to the clothing of these sefirot and the Or Yashar, the direct light. To the extent that we have this direct light, accordingly we have the clothing of the reflected light in them, and vice versa. The more we have reflected light, so is the direct light clothed in that. Okay. PT 12.
Boker tov, Rav, matrat ha-briya ze lekabel et ha-or o lidchot et ha-or?
The purpose of creation is to receive the light or to reject it.
The purpose of creation is to reach adhesion in the Creator. This is manifested in a way that if the will is to receive, you reject the light, and if the will is to bestow already, you receive the light. PT 24.
Continuing what we read right now, if I understand correctly, then when Malchut was emptied and the Or Chozer, the reflected light, as far as the line, the first three Sfirot, or even the fourth one, including Keter, are filled with light, no problem. The only one that's not filled, and we're talking about, is the Malchut.
Yes, the Malchut is not fulfilled.
So the first four of them are filled. So when it does a Masach, a screen, and they feel that's what's going on, is what's going on in the first four.
Yes, Malchut is only filled with the reflected light.
From the force of the reflected light.
From the force of the reflected light.
And then the Partsuf that is created, if we continue from there, is Malchut and the first nine that are filled with light. Meaning everything that's above Malchut.
Yes.
So that's one division. So how do we also get the division of Rosh Toch Sof, where Rosh is only the first three and Toch is filled with light? It's already seemingly within Malchut. It's part of Malchut.
That's something we'll talk about soon. We'll talk about that soon. Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, what change is there in the attitude of Malchut to the Sefirot that pass through the light before the restriction and after it? What change in the relationship between them?
Before the restriction, there wasn't any prohibition. Malchut was filled by all the light, and after the restriction, Malchut has a condition of the restriction when the light will not enter to receive in order to receive, and then it stays empty. It only acts in the form of the reflected light.
But how are those sefirot perceived before the restriction and after? The sefirot that pass her the light, how do they...
I don't understand what's your confusion. I'm sitting in front of the host. He gives me, and I make the calculation how much I can receive or not. That's all. You're with your philosophy. You're being confused. Accept it. Simply.
What's the host?
The host? The creator.
But we're the reality of the will to receive in the sefirot in the system. What's that?
But you have a source for the light.
But I don't have connection to that.
In this light, you have the will to bestow that comes from the host, from the creator. Right or not?
No.
Right.
Well.
But the host is not standing before me. Before me, a system is standing. And I don't grasp it.
No. That's incorrect. If this is the way you're thinking, you're completely wrong. You're in the wrong perception of reality. You're standing before the Creator. And between you and the Creator, there's a system. And this system distinguishes between you and Him, and you want to adapt yourself to the Creator.
That's what I'm asking. How is that adaptation done? How is this adaptation done before the restriction? What change does Malchut go through after the restriction?
This is what we learn. By the restriction, the screen, the reflected light, Malchut adapts itself to the Creator, so that the bestowal from the Creator called direct light comes to be the same essence, just like Malchut does to the Creator, from Keter to Malchut and from Keter, from Malchut back to Keter. And in these 20 Sefirot, from above downwards and back up, then we see how they connect. Clear. All right. PT 12.
אדום מופיע עכשיו. אומר, איך אפשר, הוא שואל את השאלה, זה
בשביל... This is the question, so how can you cause this reflected light to be no more and no less and reflected but to the measure of the light that the masach pushed backwards? How can you explain this practically in our work so it won't be some kind of fantasy?
To the extent that you intend to be in the direction of the host, to that extent you can receive from him.
What in simplicity is the essence of this action?
That you seemingly reject everything, because your will to receive now has to be established correctly with a new approach to the host, and to measure, to weigh how much the host gives you and how much you can give him. And this way you reach a state that you may reach equivalence, identification, connection.
So I have a question. Today, as you see it in our groups, are we succeeding in causing the reflected light? And according to what you're saying right now, one to this measure, another to that measure, are we succeeding to do that?
Will
you ever stop talking or what?
No, no, it's here.
We're examining to what extent the host wants to give us and how much we're capable of returning it to him. And then accordingly, we can work. We should work. But before we examine, this is called I to my beloved and my beloved to me. I to the host and the host to me. I have to perform a restriction. When all the things that I'm about to measure now, all these things I measure in my tendency to bestow to the host. And then, this is how it happens. Truly, for the sake of the host, always for the friends and for the Creator. If this is the way you try to establish yourself, you can measure that everything is right.
But the question is, are we managing to cause this reflected light today in our measure where we are?
Except for you.
Okay, except for me, but are some succeeding in doing this?
Yes.
Wonderful, thank you.
Moscow 3.
Спасибо, учитель. Почему учителя рисуют нам именно в таком виде, что свет приходит сверху, отражается снизу?
The teachers draw it to us in such a way that the light comes from above down and is brought back from below upwards. Is it felt like that in them? Is that how they feel it?
This is how we accept reality, that the upper force, bestowing force, is above, above the intellect, above the emotion, above our perception. So geometrically, if you look at the illustration, or geographically, doesn't matter how, it's always this way. That's the perception of reality we have. Think about it. When you say about a person that someone is stronger than him, taller than him, about the upper force, it's higher, it's above, etc. Well, what's the question? It's not only us. It's in every place, in every method, in every science. It's the bestower is above, the receiver is below. That's how it is. In the Zohar it says also that the male faces downwards and the female faces up. This is the manner of receiving and bestowing. The bestower, the giver is always above. The receiver is below. When we reach a state that everything that exists in the will to receive and the will to bestow will be in equivalence of form, we'll have a circle again, as it was prior to creation. Asia.
Morning, Rav. Question is, when the higher light expands...
Question is, when the higher light expands, Or Yashar, the direct light, leads to the creation of Arvut, and the reflected light leads to the creation of purity, Zakut, correct?
No. The direct light comes to us just like reflected light comes to us from the upper light, from the Creator. Only that the direct light comes to us from His desire to delight His creatures, and the reflected light comes to us according to our response, where we want to come to equivalence of form with Him. And to that extent, we receive from the light that shines to us a force that can give us the reflected light. O Chozer.
Africa.
Thank you, Rav. When you say receive from the Creator, do you mean that I receive work in the ten from the Creator? What do I receive from the Creator?
If you're in order to bestow, you have a sensation that you're in connection with the Creator and you're receiving from Him.
Thank you.
Hadera tu.
Toda Rav.
Thank you, Rav. A question about the restriction. If we go to the well-known example of the host and the guest, when he's ashamed standing before the host and then he restricts himself. So my question is, in our work, is before the restriction, you should feel the Creator in each and every state? That's prior to the restriction? What we should work on is the presence of the Creator, seeing the Creator in front of me?
Well, see the Creator before me, I don't know how to tell you, but you need to feel that you are the one who's receiving, and that you're receiving then, you have a sensation that there's someone before you that's operating upon you and giving you, and you feel shame in this, and then you have no choice but to do restriction. Yes, that's under the condition that you're working in a group, and then you intensify the force of bestowal upon yourself from above, and then also through the participation in the group can increase your force of bestowal in return from below. That means that already in the group you're carrying out an action of the tzimtzum, of the restriction. In other words, the action of restriction cannot take place if you're not receiving all the sefirot until malchut that is common and shared, and then from that you discover all the responses from the common malchut.
Meaning, out of my connection with the attempts of connection with the friends, with the group, we get this force. I won't say the force of bestowal, but basically the feeling of the Creator.
Yes, yes. Okay, good. So we are going on.
So let's read 65 again, Rav.
Yeah, let it be.
The reflected light is divided into sefirot according to its clothing of the sefirot of direct light. From the aforementioned, you can thoroughly understand the measure and size of that reflected light. It is no more and no less than the measure of light that the screen pushes backwards. In other words, it is that part that was worthy of expanding in phase 4 had it not pushed it back. It ascended and clothed the phases of the upper light, meaning phase 3, called Zeranpin. Phase 2, called Bina. Phase 1, called Chochmah. And also the root phase, called Keter. For this reason, it is considered that phase 4 herself was divided into those 4 degrees, that her reflected light clothed, which became 4 degrees one above the other, in the vessel of phase 4 herself. That is because the light that had belonged to her ascended and clothed these 4 degrees. It is for this reason that phase 4 is regarded as the root, called the Keter, of this reflected light.
Chaver 2. Chaver 2.
Boker Tov.
Good morning. It's clear how Malchut expands to the 3 first phases and incorporates them in the, by the force of the reflected light. But how did these Prinot become Sfirot? How does Malchut identify Sfirot?
They're the same phases that the direct light moves through towards Malchut, and Malchut raises in return to them with her desire to connect with these lights. So these lights of reflected light, the response of Malchut, become these discernments, these phases of Shoresh Aleph Bet Gimel Dalet, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, to illuminate. Why does it mean that they're illuminating? Because Malchut is adding her desire to them, only that it's in order to bestow, and therefore they start to illuminate and become from discernments, from phases to Sfirot.
Desires to receive that Malchut raises are the ones that become Sfirot? Not
the intentions in order to bestow that Malchut raises from herself to Keter through all those phases, then those phases become Sfirot because they have the coarseness from the Malchut and the refinement from the Keter. And when they meet together, they become Sfirot.
So the Sfirot are the vessels, the corrected vessels of Malchut?
The Sfirot are the corrected vessels of the Malchut, therefore they're called Sfirot from the word sapphire, that illuminates, that shines. When did they come, where did they come that they illuminate? Because they have some kind of opportunity to work with the light.
So Malchut basically doesn't identify the light outside of it. What Malchut identifies is her corrected vessels that become Sfirot?
Yes, but you can't say that someone identifies something outside himself. There is no such thing in spirituality or in reality altogether. We identify what enters the will to receive only.
Thank you.
Ala.
Next.
Item 66. The 10 Sfirot of direct light expand from above downward, and the 10 Sfirot of reflected light from below upward. Now, there are 2 kinds of 10 Sfirot in the emanated being. 10 Sfirot from above downward, and 10 Sfirot from below upward. It is so because there are 10 Sfirot in the upper light called the Keter of the upper light. Also, 4 phases expand from the Keter. Phase 1 is called Chochmah. Phase 2 is called Bina. Phase 3 is also called Zeranpin. It contains 6 Sfirot Chagat Nei. And phase 4 is Malchut. Their order is from above downward, meaning from the more refined to the more coarse. It means that the more refined is also more important. And the most refined of all, namely the root, is called Keter. Following it, meaning with a little more coarseness than Keter, it is called Chochmah, and continues through the coarsest, who is Malchut, the most inferior of all.
Okay. Look, friends, I just want to tell you one thing. What we're reading right now, a very special man wrote this, who has reached high attainments. And he doesn't write one word that does not come from his exalted attainment. If we have difficulty with these words, even if we don't quite understand, then we receive from it a certain illumination, the reforming light. And this is how we purify ourselves and advance. If we don't do that, then it's like a donkey is looking inside of a book and doesn't understand anything. So please, you need to think, what's the purpose of your study? Not to be so indifferent, how to awaken yourself more, how to understand more, to feel more, to ask from the Creator, more understanding, more feeling, that it's impossible to remain this way. What will I have? What will be with me if I stay this way? A beast? So we need to nevertheless to rise up.
Teacher,
you just said that we have to connect to this text. How can we as a 10 connect practically right now to this text? What should we do now to do that?
Whatever you can do, whatever is possible with your hands to do, do. Everything you read, everything you heard, let's connect all these things together and demand and yearn for all of this. Otherwise,
what are we demanding when we read tests?
Wonderful. Now we're entering, Moshe, we're going to enter a workshop. What do we demand from the study?
Yes.
Knowledge, intellect, intention, what not. Maybe the weather to change. It doesn't matter what. Workshop. Everyone is in this scrutiny. Please.
What we're demanding from the study is to receive qualities of love and bestowal as the upper light.
Yes, today especially there's a certain sensation that we need to ask. We're always asking for the friends and for us to succeed to come out of this fogginess that we're in.
All that study and the lesson we have in the wisdom of Kabbalah is how much we can come closer to the light to resemble it, so it will bestow upon us, organize us correctly, the light that it reforms to act in us.
We heard now from Rav also about the means, which is connecting to the upper, to Rav, to Bala Sulam, to basically integrate into something, into the attainments that they've attained in the paths of wisdom, and to adhere to them and to develop a yearning to be somewhat with them in that same sensation of connection with the Creator.
We want to bring out the awakening force from the study, the force that will help us awaken each other. And even if it's not in our own forces of each of us to do that, we want to draw that force of bestowal, the quality that will help us support each other, draw each other, awaken each other, so we can truly rise above our beastly force that wants to all, that always wants to draw us downwards.
Just like Rav said earlier, we want to start to feel that we're rising from the ground, advancing above this apathy, starting to fly above our heads. And specifically now, when you feel a certain heaviness, and where it's all of a sudden clearer to our eye, even to our heart here, we need to use it to help one another turn to the Creator and demand correctly for the light so that we will be a 10 for Him.
It's a bit like we said previously in the previous part about the philosophy. Compared to the study, we don't want to be philosophers. We don't want knowledge. We want feeling. Just like Rav explained now, this text was written by a very special person. We don't understand. Even if we read it with him, we don't understand, but we somehow connect to him, even just by reading the words he wrote. Bit by bit, we'll repeat it. We go with it together. We read together. We want to get the feeling. What the Kabbalist felt when he wrote it, that's what we want to feel when we read it. If we'll work on it together, bit by bit, it will build the vessels in us.
What's nice is that with the time as we're advancing, we discover more and more that we're not in that feeling. Meaning it's not some kind of indifference towards the study, but it's the opposite. There's a demand and there's a feeling that really I'm not there. And only if we connect and ask, we'll manage to be there together.
So.
So we're not letting go. We're keeping on pressing the gas pedal and the connection between us, along with asking for the intention and to strengthen the tendency to be the ones who bestow and to live in that reality of Kabbalists.
Our demand from the study is for him to adhere us to him, for him to adhere us to the Kabbalists, adhere us to the friends, and something above our intellect to the upper intellect.
That the 10 will become the spiritual patsuf. I will get the force to restrict our ego and to be in bestowal and love and reflected light.
We could say that we want from this study a remedy. If we, through the reading and our feeling and our point in the heart, we feel a certain truth of how sick we are in this sickness of separation, a feeling that bitters our lives, we can say that we're asking from Bala Sulam and from the Creator a medicine to heal this problem, this ailment, as fast as possible. Otherwise, we're lost.
Yes, the deficiency will come out of us. Demand will come out of us to come out of the difference that we'll feel how much we want to be in the matter. At least that some scrutinized request will come out of us.
I just want to add to this that we're in a special time. And this time, during this time of the year that we're in, usually states, events that are very not good happened to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah and also belong to the attainment of the Creator. It's the ruin of the first temple, the ruin of the second temple, all kinds of such events that are typical to this time of the year, to this time. And therefore, it's no wonder that we're also feeling a certain hardening, a burdening of our heart. It's a heaviness that is on us right now. But with that, we must rise above it. Well, so what if it's heaviness? It's not important. We need to nevertheless be above that. So let's lift ourselves up, rise, and come to states that states that are good, so that we will do these states, and not the states will dictate to us what we need to be, but rather the other way around. Okay? I see that... Oh, we have the focus group. Please.
Rav, how to rise above this heaviness of the heart that's fallen upon us suddenly?
So I explained that it's not all of a sudden. It's guided from above, that there are times for good and times for bad. This is not such a good time. And we need, meaning there are lights that influence all of humanity, and to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah and coming closer to the Creator especially, that are under the influence of these times. The times meaning not that time is operating in us, but the upper light is operating on us and shining on us in such a way. So we will try to be above this specifically, we'll rise, and this will pass soon, one way or another.
Are we capable of going against these lights?
Somewhat, yes. Not completely. We nevertheless are dependent on this force. We don't yet have a restriction. We don't have the tzimtzum, the restriction in the masach and the screen and the reflected light with a vessel that we can rise with and uplift ourselves through and operate through or against the what we call the charms and the stars, but we don't have that kind of level of bestowal yet. But we're coming closer to it. That's why I'm explaining now that we need, despite that, to wake up and continue. Okay? A good song, and with that we will complete our lesson.
Let's have a tune.
Manai shevetachim gam yachad hine matov shevetachim gam yachad hine matov shevetachim gam yachad hine matov manai שבטחים גם יחד הנה מה טוב ומה נעים שבטחים גם יחד